We're living in an unprecedented time in our lifetimes, aren't we? There's fear all around us, and a virus we've never heard of before is unquestionably the most talked about subject on social media and in the news. So before we get into the heavy stuff and the meat of the topic we're going to talk about today, can I just put a little silver lining on all of this and say that for all the talk, there has been some fun humor that's come out, even though it's a very negative situation. So it's looking like the Summer Olympics in Tokyo won't be until 2021, so it's probably a good thing, because if it were going to be in 2020, it'd have to look like this. Or how about this one? Out of an abundance of caution, both the MLA and Chicago-style manuals are reinstituting the two spaces between each sentence rule, which I have to say I'm a fan of anyway. And got to have one about toilet paper. So it says, some people aren't shaking hands because of the coronavirus, but I'm not shaking hands because everyone's out of toilet paper. The truth is, as people, we need to laugh at this because it is something that is so dramatic and traumatic that it really does affect all of us. And if we're not careful, we can become consumed watching the spread of this coronavirus and trying to keep tabs on it. And one thing we know is that it is incredibly contagious. And you probably could make the case that the only thing more contagious than the virus is the fear that it's causing. The virus is incredibly contagious, but so is fear. And there are a lot of reasons to be afraid, right? I mean, the stock market is down. Schools have closed. You can't go to sporting events, community events, or social gatherings, or even go shopping like you're used to. Businesses are being affected, and in many cases are needing to shut down altogether. We're practicing social distancing, which makes everything interesting, from dodging your neighbors on the sidewalk while walking the dog to plastic barriers on the checkouts at Costco. Even right now, Rochelle is at least 6 feet away from me while we're filming. And while it may be inconvenient for us, we have to remember that for those who are older or who have compromised immune systems, this threat is very real. And on top of just the health challenges, many of you may not be working as much as you have before, or not working at all. It's really like something we've not seen in our entire lifetime, and that causes fear, and that fear is contagious. One fear that's out there is that you're worried that maybe you're carrying the virus and don't know it. I hope you understand this, that you are a carrier, not necessarily of the virus, but you carry something. In fact, you're always carrying something. You might be a carrier of fear, and you're passing on your fear to anybody you interact with, or you might be carrying faith, and you pass on that instead. See, you're always carrying something, and what you're carrying, you pass on to others. People who get near you are going to catch what you have. The question is what you're carrying worth catching, or is it something to be avoided? Listen to this section of scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Paul writes, "We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ." Your faithful work, your loving deeds, and your enduring hope. Why did they have faith, love, and hope? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of what was going on in their world, but because of the one who was Lord over their world. In verse 5, Paul goes on to say, "For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power." The good news has power. Imagine in your mind that there's a treatment or a cure for COVID-19 or a way to prevent infection. What do you think will happen when that good news comes out? It will spread. It will spread uncontrollably, because good news is contagious too. And the good news of our Lord is that he doesn't just cure a physical sickness, but he cures a spiritual sickness. It's something deeper. Jesus said that he didn't come for the healthy, but for the sick. And he didn't come for the righteous, but for sinners. For people like you and me, people who are broken and in desperate need. He went to the tax collectors, the sinners, and the prostitutes. He touched the lepers, and he reached out to the people that religion rejected. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, or that you failed God and let him down because you doubted or because you said or did something that you feel ashamed of, know this. Jesus came for you. He came for those who are messed up, those who don't have perfect faith, those who have sinned and fallen short of God's standard of holiness. He came for people like you and me. And this is the good news, that we're not made right with God by our own works, which are never good enough, but we're made right with God by the grace of Jesus Christ. And so in this season of Lent, this is what we celebrate, that Jesus died on the cross for the unrighteous sinner. He lived a perfect life for those who could not. And he rose again so that we would have the hope of heaven. And get this, you and I have not just been saved from hell, we've been saved for this life on earth, so that we can make a difference with every day we've been given here. And we do that by carrying and spreading the good news of Jesus. That's what Paul was talking about when he says, "We brought you the good news." Friends, if you're watching this, I got to tell you, you're a carrier. You're carrying something, whether you're carrying fear or whether you're carrying the good news of Jesus Christ. Both are contagious and both will spread. Not that long ago at church, although it seems like a really long time ago now, I did a Bible study on Sunday morning. It was called God Opens Doors. And if I had to summarize that Bible study, or really the whole book of Acts, I'd say it's this, that the word of God spread. That's what we read in Acts chapter 6. Why did it spread? I believe it's because the church demonstrated those things that we've been talking about, their faithful work, their loving deeds, and their enduring hope. And that's the marks of a contagious church or a contagious Christian. And I pray that you are a carrier of that, not of fear, so that if somebody gets next to you, they'll catch faith, hope, and love. And here's the thing. The cure to this virus is important, but people need the cure that your faith, hope, and love gives even more. And thankfully, you can't stop the message of the gospel with a virus. Even if we can't meet together, we don't stop being the church. You know the old song, "I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together." Sing it if you know it. But actually, I love this part. It says this, "The church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is a people. And that people live on, even if our church doors are closed." The truth is, the word that is usually translated as church in the scripture is really a word that means the people that are called to follow Jesus. That's what church means. So in other words, we don't go to church, we are the church. And the message that we carry, the good news of Jesus, is the hope of this world. And you can share that hope with your friends and family, even now, online, through social media, over the phone, text messages. It doesn't stop when the church doors are closed. Use whatever it takes to get the message of faith, hope, and love out into a world that increasingly has more fear, anger, and worry. Amen? In fact, I love that. Have you ever noticed how Scripture talks over and over again about faith, hope, and love, but how each of them is a contagious antidote to something that is contagiously bad? Here's what I mean. Fear is contagious. That's bad. But so is faith. That's good. And we know that anger and hatred is contagious. Look at how fights and riots can break out. But so is love. Jesus told his disciples that we would change the world, that people would know we were his followers by the way that we love. And worry is contagious, but so is hope. And we have a hope that no virus can kill. So let me ask you, do you believe that God can bring something good out of something bad? You know that he does all the time. That's hope, that feeling that you have. So don't let the enemy crush that, and don't let fear stop that. Share your hope. I have hope that our all-powerful God, who spoke creation into existence with his breath, and our miracle-working God, who is able to breathe life back into dead bones or raise Lazarus from the dead, I'm hopeful that God will cause his church to emerge from this even stronger. Why? Because this time that we're going through is teaching us. It's showing us the shifting sand that we so often build our lives on and put our hope in. Think of the things that we trusted, but we see now give us no real security. No, we have something even greater to put our hope in. We have the rock of God's word, and we have the person and work of Jesus Christ. They never change. They never fade. They're always there. So faith, hope, and love. When you and I speak a message of faith, hope, and love into a fearful and anxious world, it dispels all fear and it casts out all darkness. And in that, Christ's love shines even brighter. And so this is your opportunity to shine. Maybe it's an encouraging note, a phone call, or a text. Maybe it's an act of generosity where you provide something for people that they need. But the most loving thing that you can do is to let them know of a God who loves them so much that he sent his son into the world and that he's with them right now, even in the midst of all this. In fact, he's with you too, ministering to your souls. Do you feel it? Actually, that's where I'd like to tie things back to our soul-keeping message series. And today what I'd like to talk about is the practice of gratitude. Our souls are healthier when we recognize with thanksgiving and appreciation what we've been given. And when you try to bring faith, hope, and love to another person like we've been talking about, that's going to best come out of a heart that's filled with gratitude. So we've been talking about how the Apostle Paul told the Thessalonian believers how important their faithful work and loving deeds and enduring hope were. But you know what else he tells them? He says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In other words, they're to be thankful in all circumstances. But why is that? He says, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Why would gratitude be God's will for us? I think it's because God knows exactly how we're wired. I think he knows that as people, we are generally better at worrying or complaining than we are at being gracious or thankful. Do you know that there was an article back in 2013 in the New York Times, and it said this. It said that on average, work teams will express discontent 50 times over the course of an hour while working to get out a proposal. I don't even know how that math works out. How do they even get any work done? But the point is this. We are good at complaining. In fact, some research suggests that if you complain for just a half hour a day, you literally begin to wire pathways in your brain that make it easier for you to be negative in the future. And then that negativity dumps hormones into your body that actually hurt your body and impair your ability to problem solve and think clearly. So friends, I can't say that I always know what God is doing. But I think it's highly possible that he instructs us to give thanks in all circumstances because he just knows that it's better for us. And that's why the psalm that we heard in our Old Testament reading today, where we hear King David simply say, my soul bless the Lord, all that is within me bless his holy name. So what does it mean to bless the Lord? I think David goes on to tell us, first, it's not just something we do occasionally, but it's part of our lifestyle. That's why he says, all that is within me. But then he goes on to say more about how we bless the Lord. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. See, David is giving us a kind of a list of all the things that God has given us, in case you've forgotten. He provides us healing and redemption and love and compassion and satisfaction and contentment and good things like renewal and life. And if you just read a few verses down in this Psalm 103, get to around verse 8, you'll see there that what it's basically saying is that God is so giving to us, not because we're good, No, to the very contrary. He is compassionate and gracious, even though we continue to sin, it says. And that he's going to deal with us graciously and not repay us according to our sins. Isn't that good news? Friends, if you need something to be thankful for, might I suggest that you start here with the fact that God gives you grace instead of judgment. The truth is, I think that this coronavirus situation has given us even more cause to be thankful. There's an old saying about human nature that I hate to admit, but it's right. And it says this: you don't truly appreciate what you've got till it's gone. Is it possible that during this pandemic, you and I may be gaining a new appreciation of what we've taken so for granted? How good it is to be able to step close to one another and to talk and to share a handshake or a hug, or to be able to shop in grocery stores with full shelves. I don't think we're ever going to complain about a long line again as long as they have toilet paper. Do you think we're learning to be more thankful for being able to gather as the community of faith, to be able to lift our voices together, to share a sign of peace, to sing our praises and to come before the Lord, joining our hearts in prayer, and to gather around his table and receive his body and blood together? Friends, I think this virus has given us an opportunity to be thankful for things that we've often taken for granted. And I hope it's causing you to even be thankful for what you still have. We still have family. We still have love. We still have God richly and daily providing for our needs. Would you take a moment and just thank him for that? And even if you're having trouble thanking him right now, might I encourage you to just pray then and ask him to change your heart. Ask him to forgive you for your lack of gratitude and to heal that hurt in your heart that's keeping you from being thankful. So I'm going to just quickly leave you with three reasons from a logical perspective why gratitude is good. We've already talked about Scripture's mandate for gratitude, but here are three rational reasons that you don't want to stay stuck in selfishness and ingratitude, but rather to be thankful and grateful. Because gratitude has power. It has the power, number one, to change you. As I mentioned before, how you can train your mind to automatically go to negative thoughts. But the opposite is also true. And that is, the more that you and I practice gratitude, the easier it is to become thankful. That's why David says, "I bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips," in Psalm 34. That's the discipline of gratitude, and it begins to change your heart. Have you ever noticed the experience of buying a new car, and then all of a sudden you see that kind of car all over the place on the road? Well, once you look for God's gracious hand, you begin to see it everywhere. You and I are changed from the inside out when we become thankful instead of taking things for granted. And gratitude is also powerful, number two, to change others. I think the reason for this is because everybody likes to be thanked, even people who are disagreeing with you or just having a bad day. Try thanking that restaurant server that messed up your order. You don't know. It may not even be their fault. Maybe they're just having a rough day. Watch your gratitude change their demeanor toward you. Or maybe think of someone who was gracious to you when you were not actually at your best. Our gratitude affects others. And can I just interject a personal story here and say that it's a bit unnerving to preach a sermon to an empty room. And this whole experience has made me more thankful for the opportunity to preach to real people in real time. But what I've experienced on the other side of things is that people have used this as an opportunity to reach out to me and send me notes of encouragement and thanksgiving. And they send me messages saying that the sermons are helping them and they're able to share them with friends and so on. And so what it's done is it's taking something that had the potential of being very negative for me, and it turns that around and it's energized me and given me the desire to keep going. See, gratitude changes others. Your gratitude is changing me, and I thank you for that. So keep showing gratitude. And the third point, I don't think it's an overstatement to say, is that gratitude changes the world. I spent a lot of time at the beginning of this message talking about a world that needs to hear of faith instead of fear, and love instead of hate, and hope instead of worry. And I would say that your gratitude goes a long way to change the attitude of those around you. Researchers have studied something called the tipping point, the point at which a series of small changes become significant enough to cause a larger, more important change. And you might expect that the tipping point would be around 50%. When you get about halfway there, you could push it over the edge. But the truth of the matter is, what researchers have found is that for most things across different disciplines and economic sectors and groups of all sizes, is that the tipping point is usually around 25%, but could be as small as 10%. There's a good chance that you're probably 25% of your family, or at least 10% of your family. And that means that you can make a difference even in your family. What it's saying is that even if just a small number of us devote ourselves to being thankful, we can change the hearts of those around us. It's contagious, just like our faith is contagious, and our hope is contagious, and our love. It's infectious, and it has the potential to spread to many people. And wouldn't you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to help a heart that has turned inward and has become negative and selfish or fearful? Especially at a time like this, when there's every reason to be negative, selfish, or fearful. Wouldn't you like to show them how instead they can be positive, hopeful, and thankful? So my prayer for you, as the Apostle Paul says, is that you would become blameless and pure children of God without fault, and you would do everything without complaining or arguing, and that you would shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, and that you would make a decision not to grumble or complain or to spread fear or worry or anxiety, but instead you would choose to be thankful, faithful, and loving, and to share the hope that you have in Christ. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you would give us opportunities daily when so many people are hurting and afraid to let your light shine through us, through our faithful work, our loving deeds, and our enduring hope. God, show us those who need your love, and may our faith be contagious. And Lord, may our souls be filled with gratitude for what you've done for us in Christ. We are grateful for your blessings to us every day, and that in Christ you chose to give us forgiveness, life, and hope. Father, may the work of your Spirit change us, change those around us, and even the world, to the glory of your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. And now, as we prepare to receive our offerings today, I think this message of the practice of gratitude is very relevant. It's good for our souls to recognize where our blessings come from and that we have so much to be thankful for. And one way that we do that is through our tithes and our offerings. If you choose to do that now, you can find those links both on our website and on our online worship site, or you can mail in your offering by U.S. Postal Mail. But in that act of giving, however you choose to do it, know that you are at the same time expressing gratitude with your giving, because you're recognizing that all that you have has come to you by God's grace. And so as we sing this next song, I pray that God will fill your hearts with gratitude, with great confidence, and that he will continue to supply all of your needs.